Okay, today we're going to talk about the natural numbers. That's the most basic number system that we have. It's the number system that children learn to count with, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so on. And in fact, for many people, it's the only number system that they know. So Giuseppe Peano's axioms for the natural numbers are the following, and we'll write them down in just a minute. But I want to say that in advance, we don't know anything about addition. So we're going to have, in place of addition, we're going to have a notion of successor. Given a natural number, n, it's going to have a successor, which you can think of in the back of your mind as n plus 1. So the successor of 2 is denoted 2 prime, and in the back of your mind, you're going to think 3. The successor of 5 is 5 prime, but in the back of your mind, you're going to think 6. Okay, so here are Peano's axioms. Axiom 1 is that 1 is a natural number. Axiom 2 is that if n is a natural number, then the successor n prime is a natural number. Axiom 3 is there is no natural number n, so that n prime is 1. So 1 is the only natural number that is not a successor. There is no natural number that precedes 1. In the back of your mind, you might be thinking 0, but 0 is not a natural number. Axiom 4 is if m and n are natural numbers, and if they have the same successor, so m prime equals n prime, then m equals n. And axiom 5 is let p be a property if 1, p of 1 is true, and 2, p of j implies p of j prime for every j, then p of n is true for every n. Of course, axiom p5 is nothing other than mathematical induction, and we'll say more about that later. As the expert Supi says in his book, these axioms for the natural numbers are almost universally accepted. They have evolved into their present form so that the natural numbers will satisfy those properties that are generally recognized as desirable. Let us briefly describe what each of the axioms signifies. It will be very brief here. Axiom P1 asserts that the natural numbers contain a distinguished element that we call 1. Axiom P2 asserts that each element of n has a successor. So n has the successor n prime. Axiom P3 asserts that 1 is not the successor of any natural number. In other words, 1 is, in a sense, the first element of the naturals. Axiom P4 asserts that if two natural numbers have the same successor, then they are, in fact, the same natural number. And axiom P5 asserts that the method of mathematical induction is valid. Some obvious and heuristically appealing properties of the natural numbers can be derived quite directly from Peano's axiom. Here's an example. Proposition, let n be a natural number other than 1, then n equals m prime for some natural number m. So every natural number except 1 is a successor. This proposition makes the intuitively evident assertion that every natural number except 1 is a successor. Another way of saying this is that every natural number except 1 has a predecessor. This claim is clearly not an explicit part of any of the 5 axioms. In fact, the only axiom that has any hope of implying this proposition is the inductive axiom, as we shall now see. So, proof. Let P of J be the statement either J equals N or J equals N prime for some natural number N. Clearly, PJ is true when J is 1. Because one of the alternatives in the OR statement is J is 1. Now suppose that the statement PJ has been established for some natural number J. We wish to establish it for J prime, but J prime is by definition a successor. It's the successor of J, so the statement is true. And that completes our induction. This proof is misleading in its simplicity. The proof consists of little more than interpreting axiom P5. Some other desirable properties of the natural numbers are much more difficult to prove directly from the axioms. As an instance, to prove that there is no natural number lying between k and k prime is rather complicated. In fact, the entire concept of ordering is extremely tricky, and the single most important property of the natural number is one that is essentially equivalent to the mathematical induction axiom, as we shall later see, is that the natural numbers are well-ordered. So well-ordered, as you may recall, it means that every subset has the least element. So we must find an efficient method for establishing the properties of the natural numbers that are connected with order. It is generally agreed that the best way to develop further properties of the natural numbers is to treat a specific model. Even that approach is non-trivial, so we should only briefly sketch the construction of a model and further sketch its order properties that we may discuss while ordering. The approach that we take is by way of the so-called finite ordinal arithmetic. So let us define a model for the natural numbers in this way. 1 is the set containing the empty set. 2 is 1 union the set containing 1, which is exactly the set with elements, the empty set, and the set containing the empty set. 3 is 2 union the set containing 2, which is the set with these elements, the empty set, the set containing the empty set, and the set containing the empty set, and the set containing the empty set. In general, K prime is K union the set containing K, as you just saw a couple of times. It is straightforward to verify Peano's axioms for this model of the natural numbers. Let us first notice in this model that the successor n prime of a natural n is number n is given by n prime as n union set containing n. Now let us sketch the verification of the axioms. P1 is clear by construction, namely there's an element 1, so is P2. P3 is an amusing exercise in logic. If m prime equals 1, then there is a set A such that A union the set containing A equal 1. That's what it means to calculate a successor. In other words, A union the set containing A is the set containing the empty set. So, in particular, X is an element of A union the set containing A implies that X is an element of the set containing the empty set. Since A is an element of A union the set containing A, it follows that A is the empty set, but the empty set is not a natural number. So we hypothesized that there was an element A whose successor is 1, but A turned out to be the empty set, which is not a natural number, so that's a contradiction. So 1 does not have a predecessor. In other words, 1 is not a successor. For axiom P4, it is convenient to invoke the concept of ordering in our model of the natural numbers. Say that natural number m is less than the natural number n if m is an element of n. Clearly, if m and n are natural numbers and m not equal n, then either m is an element of n or n is an element of m, but not both. Thus, we have the usual trichotomy of a strict simple order. Now, suppose that m and n are natural numbers and that m prime equals n prime. If m is less than n, then m is an element of n, so m prime is an element of m prime, n prime, and therefore m prime is less than n prime. That is false, because m prime equals n prime. Likewise, we cannot have n less than m, because that would imply n prime less than m prime. And therefore, the only other remaining possibility is that m equals n, and that's what we wanted to prove. We will discuss axiom P5 a bit later. Now we will turn to well ordering. We assert that our model of the natural numbers, with the ordering defined in our discussion of P4, has the property that if S is not an empty subset of the natural numbers, then there is an element S in capital S, so that S is less than T for every element of capital S that is not equal to little s. It is clear from the trichotomy that the least element S, if it exists, is unique. We proceed in several steps. Fix a natural number m greater than 1 and restrict attention to Q of m, which is the set of natural numbers less than m. Proposition: the set Q of m has finitely many elements. Proof: the natural number k is less than m if and only if k is an element of m, but by construction, m has only finitely many elements in it. Every natural number is a set with only finitely many elements. Remark, as an exercise, you may wish to attempt to prove this last proposition directly from the Peano axioms. Proposition, for each m, the set Q of m is well ordered. Proof, the proof is by mathematical induction on m. When m is 1, there is nothing to prove. Assume that the assertion has been proved for m equals j. Now let u be a subset of Qj prime. There are three possibilities. Number one, if in fact U is a subset of Qj, then U has a least element by the inductive hypothesis. Two, if U equals the singleton J, then U has but one element, and that element J is namely the minimum that we seek. And three, the last possibility is that U contains J and some other natural numbers as well, but then U take away the set containing J is a subset of Qj. Hence, U take away J has a least element S by the inductive hypothesis. And S is automatically less than J, so it follows that S is the least element for the entire set U, just as we wanted. And that's the end of the proof. Now we have all our tools in place, and we can prove the full result. So we have three lemmas, and now we're going to get the theorem. Theorem, the natural numbers n are well ordered, which means that every non-empty subset has a least element. So proof, let S be a non-empty subset of the natural numbers, select an element m in S. There are now two possibilities. One, if Q of m intersect S is empty, then m is the least element of S that we seek. Two, if T equals Q m intersect S is not empty, then notice that if X is in T and Y is at S take away T, then X is less than Y. So it suffices for us to find the least element of T. But such an element exists by the preceding proposition, and that's the proof. We next observe that in a certain sense, the well-ordering property implies the mathematical induction property, axiom P5. By this we mean the following. Do not consider any model of the natural numbers, but just consider any number system X satisfying P1 through P4. Assume that every element of X except 1 has a predecessor, and in addition, assume that this number system is well-ordered. Now let P be a property. Assume that P of 1 is true, and assume the syllogism P of J implies P of J prime for all J. We claim that P of N is true for every N. Suppose not. Then the set S, which is the set of all M in X, so that P of M is false, is non-empty. Okay, so we're assuming, seeking a contradiction, we're assuming that P of N is not true for every N, so the set of M's where P of M is false is non-empty. Let Q be the least element of S. This number is guaranteed to exist by the well-ordering property. The number Q cannot be 1, for we assume that P of 1 is true. But if Q is greater than 1, then Q has a predecessor R, and since Q is the least element of S, then R cannot be an S. R must precede the elements of S, so P of R must be true. But then, by our hypothesis, P of R prime must be true, but R prime is Q, so P of Q is true. And that contradicts the statement that we made a few moments ago that P of Q is false. So that proves the result. The only possible conclusion is that S is empty. Therefore, P of N is true for every N. These remarks about well-ordering implying P5 are not satisfactory from our point of view because we use the inductive property to establish that every natural number other than 1 has a predecessor. But it is important for you to understand that any development of the natural numbers will result in mathematical induction and well-ordering being closely linked. If you review your calculus book or other elementary texts, you will find that both mathematical induction and well-ordering are sometimes used, but in every instance, the author will say something like, these properties of the natural numbers are intuitively clear. Don't worry about it. Now you can begin to understand why an elementary textbook author must make that choice. He can't go into the kind of detail we've been treating here. The truth about these topics is inexorably linked to the very foundations of mathematics and is therefore both subtle and complex. The remaining big idea connected with the natural numbers is addition. It can be proved that a satisfactory theory of addition cannot be developed from axioms P1 through P5. Instead, it is customary to add two new additional axioms. P6 is, if x is a natural number, then x plus 1 equals x prime. And P7 is, for every natural number xy, we have x plus y prime is quantity x plus y prime. To illustrate these ideas, let's prove 2 plus 2 equals 4. In this argument, we use the definitions 2 is equal to 1 prime, 3 is equal to 2 prime, and 4 is equal to 3 prime. So 2 plus 2 equals 2 plus 1 prime because 2 is 1 prime. And by axiom P7, that's quantity 2 plus 1 prime. And 2 plus 1 is 3, which is 2 prime. So now we have 2 prime prime. But 2 prime is 3, so now we have 3 prime. And 3 prime is 4. And in fact, it is even trickier to get multiplication to work in the natural number system. Almost the only viable method is to add even more axioms to control this binary operation. We will not provide any more details about that matter here. It is not difficult to see that with enough patience or with mathematical induction, one could establish all the basic laws of arithmetic. But this would not be a good use of our time. You could consult a daunting book like Russell and Whitehead. To see all the details. In the succeeding sections of the present book, we shall take the basic laws of arithmetic on the natural numbers as given. We understand that our treatment of the natural numbers is incomplete, but we've touched on some of the main topics and indicated some instructions. When it comes right down to it, we are taking the natural numbers on faith. All of our future number systems, the integers, the rational numbers, the reals, the complexes, the quaternions, will be constructed rigorously, with no details left out. The somewhat bewildering situation before us is that the more complicated number systems are actually easier to construct. That's it for today. Thank you.